our tendency and habit when reading the Psalms is to always personalize them. And it's always good to read the Bible from a personal level and to read it for the heart. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But we first have to understand what the interpretation of a passage is. And this is what I'm trying to develop here in these meditations on the Psalms, although I give personal applications and so on, just to be clear on that. And so now as we take up Psalm 66, we see that it's part of a quartet of Psalms. It started with the previous one, Psalm 65. So Psalm 65, 66, 67, 68 are all what we call millennial Psalms. Now, just for those who maybe aren't familiar with the term millennial or millennium, it's the thousand-year period that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 20, in which the Lord Jesus Christ rules over heaven and earth. The millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, Israel, will be its center on the earth, and he will reign through the church in the heavens above. And this is clear from the scripture. We believe in the premillennial coming of Christ. He will come during a time or at the end of a period of time of great tribulation to deliver the people of Israel and establish his kingdom here over the world. And Psalm 66 is looking at that. We don't know the particular circumstances of the psalm. It is actually a song or a psalm of praise by David after his victory over his enemies. That's the circumstances as far as we're aware. But we open up with his calling the Gentiles, the nations, to come and to praise. And so it's the prophetic spirit looking down the road to the millennial kingdom when all the nations will come and worship the Lord at Jerusalem. You know, the gospel will never do that. Even if the gospel covers the whole world, it only takes out a people for his name. That's what Acts 15 tells us, that the gospel goes out to draw out a people. It will only be ultimately a remnant from every nation. And when those are saved during this period, during the church age, they're added to the church to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that Lord Jesus will come for the church at the rapture, take us up. And then when he's revealed in glory at the end of the tribulation, we'll be revealed with him, we'll reign and rule with him. But the church's purpose is not to convert the world as such. Take the gospel to every creature, but that's for sure, but not every creature will be saved. And so the call is to the Gentiles to worship God. That will come in the future. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess. So it says in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the God, all ye lands. Seek forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible. That's the old English word in my authorized Bible. But it simply means awesome. How awesome art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Now I just want to point out here that this word submit actually in the Hebrew means to yield a feigned obedience or yield a feigned or fainted submission. And when we read Revelation chapter 20, we see that at the end of the millennium, Satan is let out of his prison for a brief period, and there's a great rebellion of the nations at the end of that thousand-year period. And they come against Jerusalem. Of course, then God destroys the old earth and heaven with fire, and a new heaven, a new earth is introduced. We can't go into all the details of that, but it's just interesting that this word here is for submit in verse 3 means a feigned submission. And then it says in verse 4, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee, and they shall sing unto thy name. Now this psalm is divided up in some natural divisions, with each division ending with the word selah, or pause. We get that at the end of verse 4, we get it at the end of verse 7, the end of verse 15, and these are the natural divisions of the psalm. And we could go on through this. In verse 5 onwards, David sort of recounts the history of Israel. For example, we see in verse 6, for he turned the sea into dry land. They went forth through the flood or through the waters on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He's looking back at the history of Israel when they passed over the Red Sea on dry land. He delivered them from Egypt. He crushed Egypt and the Gentile powers and suppressed them. He delivered the people of Israel, brought them into the land. And so verse 12, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou brought us into a wealthy or abundant or rich place. And that's again the history of Israel. He's looking back. He's looking back, but he's looking forward and calling all the nations now to worship the Lord. It's the prophetic spirit looking on to the millennium. But then on a personal level, I just want to give an application here because we want to look at that element as well. Verse 16 says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul." Now, David is saying he wants to declare what God had done for him and giving him victory over his enemies and so on. But this is the place for all of us as Christians, is that we ought to be confessing Christians. You know, it says in Romans chapter 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God is raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Confession is very part of our Christian faith. I don't believe in quiet or secret Christians. You know, it says in Psalm 107 verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." If you're saved, you ought to say so. And you know, Peter in his first epistle says essentially the same thing in chapter 3 verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer." The Greek word there for answer is apologia. That's where we get our word apologetics from. "To give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." We ought to be always ready to give an answer to those if they ask us, why do you live the way you live? Why do you speak the way do you speak? Why do you do what you do? Give an answer. Give a confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorify him in your life. Don't be a secret Christian or a quiet Christian. I don't believe really there's any such thing. "So let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I myself was saved in July of 1973. Now, I know some people make a big deal about the day and the time and the hour and all of that. I'm not so much interested in the day or the time or the hour as the fact that it actually happened. It actually happened. The Lord entered into my life. You know, I was one of those young hippies back in the late 60s and on drugs and all of that. And the Lord saved me. He delivered me that. He delivered me from the power of Satan and translated me into the kingdom of his son. And so that's my confession. And I'm not ashamed to say it, that now these 40-some plus years that I've been following the Lord Jesus Christ, 43 years now, all glory to his name. So, verse 16, "Come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul." Now, the concluding verses are about prayer, verse 18, 19, and 20. David says in verse 18, "If I regard iniquity or vanity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily or truly, God has heard me, and he has attended to the voice of my prayer." And then verse 20, "Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." And someone has divided this little section here, verse 18 to 20, in this way. Verse 18, we get guilt hinders prayer. Verse 19, God hears prayer. And verse 20, grace helps prayer. And so may we be encouraged by this. Dear saint, don't be afraid to give a good, clear testimony of why you're a Christian. And again, the background to this psalm is David and his victories and looking back at the history of the people, how God intervened and gave them victory over their enemies. But the Spirit of God looking forward to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of David, will establish his kingdom here in this world. What a day that will be. We look forward to that day, that we will reign and rule with him. The believer is the heir of God and the joint heir with Christ. That is our hope. Heaven is not our hope as such. Our hope is the Lord Jesus, the blessed hope that he will come and fetch us to be with himself. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen.